US supports Saudi UAE crimes in Yemen. In July of 2018, an Amnesty International report entitled "God Knows If He's Alive" documented the plight of dozens of families in southern Yemen whose loved ones had been tortured, killed, or forcibly disappeared. The United Arab Emirates is part of the Saudi-led coalition that, with vital US support, has been bombarding and blockading famine and disease-ravaged Yemen for three brutal years. The disappearances and torture can sadly be laid at the doorstep of the United States. One testimonial after another echoes the sentiments of a woman whose husband has been held incommunicado for more than 2 years. She asked, "Shouldn't they be given a trial? Why else are there courts? They shouldn't be disappeared this way. Not only are we unable to visit our loved ones, we don't even know if they're dead or alive." The report describes bureaucratic farces in which families beg for information about their loved ones' whereabouts from prosecutors and prison officials, but the families' pleas for information are routinely met with silence or even intimidation. The families are appealing to an unelected Yemeni exile government whose president, Abdurrahman Mansour Hadi, generally lives in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. The United Arab Emirates has so far supported Abdurrahman Mansour Hadi's claim to govern Yemen. However, the Prosecutor General of Hadi's government, as well as other officials, told Amnesty International, "The government of Yemen has no control over operations spearheaded by the United Arab Emirates and implemented by the Yemeni forces it backs." When months and years pass and families of people who are missing still have no news about their loved ones, some try to communicate unofficially with prison guards or with former detainees who have been released from various detention sites. They repeatedly hear stories about torture of detainees and rumours about prisoners who have died in custody. Amnesty International report implicates United Arab Emirates-backed local forces in Yemen, as well as the United Arab Emirates military forces in the crimes of torture and other ill-treatment of prisoners. Of 7 former or current detainees interviewed by Amnesty International, 5 said they were subjected to abuses and torture. The report added that all 7 witnessed other detainees being tortured, including one who said he saw a detainee held in a cell next to him being carried away in a body bag after he had been repeatedly tortured. In June of 2017, Human Rights Watch and Associated Press exposed a network of clandestine prisons operated by the United Arab Emirates in Yemen. Their reports described ghastly torture inflicted on prisoners and noted that senior US military leaders knew about torture going on in Yemen. Yet, a year later, there has been no investigation of these allegations by those in charge in southern Yemen, by the so-called fugitive government, by the United Arab Emirates government, or by the UAE's most powerful ally in the Yemen war, United States of America. It is shocking to say the least. The Amnesty International report states that 1 year after a network of secret prisons operated by the United Arab Emirates military has been exposed, these facilities continue to operate and there has not been a serious investigation undertaken into credibly documented violations, including systematic torture in custody. The Amnesty report calls on the United States to facilitate independent oversight, including by US Congress, over US military or intelligence cooperation with the so-called pro-government militants and UAE military forces, involved in detention activities in southern Yemen. It further calls for investigating any involvement of U.S. military or intelligence personnel in detention-related abuses in southern Yemen. To date, the US continues selling weaponry to the United Arab Emirates and to its coalition partner Saudi Arabia, despite several congressional debates and a few increasingly close votes demanding a full or partial end to US weapons sales, considering the terrible practices being carried out as part of the Yemen war. Since March of 2015, a coalition led by Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates and relying on crucial American logistical aid, has bombarded Yemen whilst blockading its major ports, despite Yemen's status as one of the poorest countries in the world. Targeting transportation, electrical plants, sewage and sanitation facilities, as well as schools, mosques, weddings and funerals, the vicious bombardment campaign has led to starvation, displacement and the spread of disease such as cholera in Yemen. On the same day that Amnesty International report was released, Saudi Arabia's King Salman pardoned all military men who have taken part in the Operation Restoring Hope of their respective military and disciplinary penalties with regards to some rules and disciplines. It seems like that the Amnesty International report precipitated this royal decree. Along with three countries in North Africa's Sahel desert region, Yemen has been cited as part of the worst famine crisis in the 70-year history of the United Nations. In the past 3 years of aerial and naval attacks, Yemen's key port of Hodeidah has remained partially or fully closed despite the country's vital need for relief supplies. And whilst Yemenis suffer the chaos and despair characteristic of war, the Saudis and United Arab Emirates unashamedly refer to the war as Operation Restoring Hope. Many thousands of innocent Yemenis, subjected to consistent bombardment and threats of starvation and famine, have fled their homes. Many seek refuge outside of Yemen. For instance, close to 500 Yemenis have traveled nearly 500 miles to reach a visa-free port on South Korea's Jeju Island. On 21st of July this year, during an international phone call hosted by young friends in Afghanistan, listeners heard Kaya, a resident of Jeju Island in South Korea, describe the Hope School. She explained how she and several other young people are trying to help welcome Yemenis now living in their village of Gangjeong. The young people are already committed to peacefully resisting US and South Korean military destruction of their shoreline and ecosystem. Now they have started an informal school so Yemeni and South Korean residents can learn from one another. Small groups gather for conventional exchanges translated from Arabic to English to Korean. Many South Koreans can recall in their own familial history that 7 million Koreans fled Japanese occupation of their land. Their Korean forebears relied on hospitality from people in other lands. The Catholic Bishop of Jeju Island Diocese, Monsignor Kang Woo Il, called on Koreans to embrace Yemeni refugees, labeling it a crime against human morality to shut the door on refugees and migrants. Kaya's account of the newly launched school describes an effort that truthfully involves restoring hope. The cynical designation of Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates-led war in Yemen as Operation Restoring Hope creates an ugly smokescreen that distracts from the crucial need to investigate war crimes committed by Saudi Arabia and by United Arab Emirates in Yemen. Undoubtedly, The US citizens also bear responsibility for US government's support of these war crimes. The Yemenis mean the Americans no harm and have committed no crime against them. Congressional votes that come quite close with bipartisan support to ending US participation in and support for Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates-led coalition war against Yemen. Ending arms sales to the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia, supported by both sides of the aisle, will signal to the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia that the United States will no longer assist their effort to prolong the war and the siege of Yemen. On cue from the initiative and energy shown by young South Koreans, people in the United States can and should organize campaigns to educate their communities, their educational institutions and media outlets about the plight of people in impoverished Yemen. Conscious of the nightmare faced by the Yemenis whose husbands, brothers, fathers and sons have been disappeared or detained by shadowy military enforcers, the public of the United States can work towards implementing each recommendation in Amnesty International's devastating report. Well, dear listeners, that was an article by Kathy Kelly. Kathy Kelly is the coordinator of Voices for Creative Nonviolence, a non-governmental organization. Thanks for being with us.